Well, BMFP is no stranger to this local church, and the staff of BMFP, and many of the missionaries that use BMFP as their missions board are no strangers to us either. In fact, they are indeed part of our church family. That resonates with many of you that have been here for some time and can recall many, many missions conferences that were led by Dr. Gene Burge. And, of course, he has gone home to be with the Lord, and the Lord has raised Brother Jonathan Lyons into his place there at BMFP. But, of course, he was no stranger to us before that happened either. The Lyonses are indeed part of our family in more ways than one. And we are so grateful to have Brother Lyons and Brother Quitter and his family here with us as well. I know the Lord is going to bless us through their ministry today. I know that it is going to be insightful. And I pray also that it will be very, very spiritually challenging to each and every one of us as the Lord continues to refine our hearts toward worldwide missions. And so without further ado, it is my great privilege and joy to introduce and turn the service over to Brother Jonathan Lyons.
All right. Again, it's a joy to be back at the Open Door Baptist Church. And it's our privilege to be able to share some things with you this morning about worldwide missions. And I just love missions. You cut my veins and mission pours out. I mean, that is part of my life, been ever since I have been born. And I just think everybody ought to be a missionary. I just think it's just the right thing to do. I remember my dad, he was a missionary in Liberia, West Africa, for 18 years before God called him to go to Spain. And we go to missions conference. He said, now, if you're going to Europe, you're out of God's will. You got to go to Africa. You know, so he convinced everybody that they were out of God's will unless they're going to Liberia, West Africa. So I won't try to do that to you this morning. But I do want to encourage you to understand that everyone at Open Door Baptist Church can have the privilege of being involved in missions. Missions is not exclusive to missionaries. Now, that is one aspect of missions, but everybody can have a part by giving, by going, by praying, by participating, by doing your active part here at the Open Door Baptist Church of being involved in missions. I encourage you, if you're not involved in the Faith Promise Giving Program of Open Door Baptist Church, you don't have to wait till the missions conference. You can start now. I don't think they'll say, no, don't give until next year. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think if you want to be involved and you're looking to be used to the Lord, you will not find a better place to get plugged in and to serve the Lord right here at Open Door Baptist Church. And as you serve the Lord and you're using your gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ, He will put you in the place that you need to be. And if God's calling you into missions, you'll be a happy, happy camper. Amen. And you say, well, Lyons, doesn't missionaries have a hard life? Well, that depends how you look at it. We don't think it's a hard life because we enjoy what we're doing. And but some of you may think, well, that's not the life for me, and it may not be. We think about missionaries, and they go places that we don't care to go, eat food that we don't care to eat, and live places we don't care to live. But maybe God's not calling you to go there, but He's calling you to help others so they can go. So you can all have a part in that. And again, thank you so much for allowing BMFP to be part of your family as you support a missionary. I think Brother Brian Thiessen was here and Brother Jimmy Magaha. We're both here for your missions conferences, and so there's some of our finest folks, and I know they were a blessing to you. I've heard some good reports since they were here, and they are truly a blessing to BMFP, and folks, we'll be seeing some of them in our stateside retreat. We've got several things coming up with Baptist Missions, Forgotten Peoples, that I want you to pray about. We'll be having a BMFP Sunday at the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina, the first Sunday of October, doing much of what we're doing here. Doing it there, and that's my sending church up in Walkertown, North Carolina. And then we'll be having our stateside retreat in Pigeon Forge. That's for all of our stateside missionaries, our field administrators, board members, and those who are on furlough. We do that every 2 years, and so we have about 100 sign up for that, which is our biggest group that I've seen since I've been with BMFP. And so we are scrambling, trying to figure out how that's going to work. But we are on the process of that, so that'll be the September 19th through the 23rd, 24th of September. So please pray for that. We're trying something new this year, and that's do something special for MKs, IRMK. And so I love MKs, and I realize, and I tell people all the time, realize that God calls the parents. The kids don't have a choice. Amen? And hopefully they'll be missionaries, but sometimes they won't be. And they need to know that they're loved. They need to know that they're appreciated. And they are a vital part of their parents' ministry. And so we want to do something special this year in our retreat for MKs. We have a couple's dedicated time to getting special things done for them, have special activities and special sessions for them. So we're really excited about that. And so you pray for the MKs. Some of them are getting ready to go to college, first time away from home. And if like our daughter went to college, it was 9 hours difference. We lived in Spain and she went to California. She's trying to get as far away from us as she could. I don't know. But it made calling very difficult, okay? So, but understand that I don't know if it's so much a hard time for the missionary kids leaving, but the parents really have a hard time. So you need to pray for those MKs that are going off to college and leaving the parents on the mission field or having to go back without their child. Sometimes it can be very, very difficult. So you pray for your MKs, pray for your missionary kids and their parents. And then, Lord willing, in October, we have two events. One will be in Ward, Arkansas, having our field administrators meeting. We do this once a year, and one of our board members invites us to come to the church. We have special meetings, and we have sessions throughout the day. And this year we're doing specifically to teach our field administrators how to be a good field administrator. And we're doing some things this year to kind of set the tone for everybody that comes in that position to be able to understand what we want our relationships to be, how we want them to relate to our missionaries, what we expect of them. And it's going to be, a great time. And then we'll be getting back home to Jacksonville. And on the 26th, my wife and I fly to Madrid, Spain, and then up to Frankfurt, and we have beginning our European Mission Possible retreat. This will be our 24th year. And so we're excited about that. Next year, we're celebrating 25 years. We're trying to already begin to plan some special events. And so I would encourage you, Pastor Stewart and Miss Wanda came 1 year. They were supposed to come the last time, but he got sick and didn't want to come. Or so. I don't know if something happened. Anyway, he bowed out on us, amen. But we were looking forward maybe to having them come back. I would encourage you to send Pastor Farley and his wife to come out and be with us. I know that they would enjoy that. I get to meet a lot of missionaries from all over Europe, around the world. And that's just a special time. It's just a special time to know missionaries, to interact with them, to encourage them to stay on the field. And so those are some of the things we have coming up through the rest of the year. And we really appreciate your prayers for that. And again, thank you so much for being a part of Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. Take your Bibles this morning for a few moments to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. If you've been around missions and Dr. Burge any amount of time, you know this is not a foreign scripture at all. But I think it lays the tone for us this morning as we're talking about what Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples does for a local church. I want to speak for a few moments on foundational relationships. Foundational relationships. You take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll read the first five verses. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed unto the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you so much for the honor it is to be in your house this morning. Lord, just to take a moment out of our busy schedule, our busy week, and just dedicate some time to saying we love you this morning. Lord, we appreciate so much the opportunity to be able to be in your service, be able to serve you. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we share these things from our heart, Lord, you might work in our midst. There might be one this morning who doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that you'd work in that life. Help them to understand about a relationship with you and what that means. And I pray there's someone here this morning who's considering missions, considering giving their life, Lord, for the cause of Christ, that this morning you would touch that heart. Lord, may we look at these things, understand these things, and then put these things in practice this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Foundational relationships. Everything we do in life has to do with relationships. Those of us who are married, we understand the importance of a relationship with our spouse. He who doth not talk haveth trouble. Amen. You don't communicate with your bride and your spouse, you're going to have some problems. You understand the relationship when you have kids and the importance of working with them through the different stages of life. I like the stage I'm in. I'm a granddad, so I like the relationship I have with my grandbabies. I can love them and leave them. Amen. I can spoil them rotten and say to my daughter, all right, back to you. You've got them. And then she can deal with the mess I left behind. Amen. But we can enjoy those relationships. We talk about church relationships and Lord, how we interact between those of us that are a member of a local church. We talk about missions relationships, and we talk about our relationship with Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples. And so we're in all different types of relationships at the same time. But this morning I'd like to share, I think, three basic relationships that all of us must be involved with and totally dedicated to. I found out something. If something is not important to you, you won't invest your time in it. If church is not important to you, you won't invest your time in church. If building your relationship with your family, with your wife, and with your children is not important to you, you will not spend time doing that. If building a relationship with your coworkers is not important, you won't take the time to invest in that. So to begin with, understanding that any kind of relationship we're in requires a dirty word called work. Okay? It requires investing our time, investing our energy, investing extra amount of stress maybe in life to build relationships with others. One of the things we've tried to do at Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples is among our field administrators is to build a constant relationship, encourage one another. We do that every morning at 9 o'clock. We have our field administrators joined by way of Zoom from virtually around the world, and we meet together. And what started out as 15, 20 minutes, now it was over an hour just spending time of fellowshipping together and praying together and encouraging one another. And many of us get sermon outlines from our talks in the morning. You know, hey, I'll write that down. I'll use that in my next sermon. Why? Because building relationships helps for a happy life, helps for an enjoyable life, helps for a self-fulfilled life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we think about missions, as we think about this portion of Scripture, understand that God desires that we build relationships, that we involve ourselves in helping and encouraging others. You and I are not placed here to live our own life, to do our own thing, to live our own way, and to make the best of ourselves. As a born-again believer, those of us who trusted Christ as our Savior, yes, we have the best that life can offer because we have the Lord Jesus. But it's not for us just to keep that. It's to invest that in other people, whether it be through discipleship or whether it be encouraging a brother, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class or whether it be involved in a youth ministry. But you're giving yourself to help others to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of us should be involved in some kind of helpful relationship with others. We ought to be investing the time, or we should be thinking about investing the time that it takes to help some other person other than ourselves to grow in the Lord and to be more like Christ. That's how we grow. That's how the church grows. That's how our ministries grow. Because we take time to help someone else to be more like Christ. But that's work. That's work. As we see in our text this morning, we see, I think, three basic relationships that we need to be building. And if I was talking about missions this morning, if I was talking about missions or if I was giving definitions to missions, it would be that it's the work of God through the people of God to get the word of God and the gospel of God to people in need of God. And so it's basically it's building relationships with others so they can have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for that to happen, that brings me to our first relationship, and that's our relationship with Christ. Our first foundational relationship this morning, above all other relationships that we may think important, of all other things that we think have first priority in our life, our first responsibility and our first relationship that we need to work on and to develop is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because based on that relationship is how we're going to deal with all the others. Based on how our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how that is evolving and how that is growing and how that was maturing in our life, that will affect how I treat my spouse. That's going to affect how I treat my children. It's going to affect those how I treat those that I work with or those I minister with or my church family or my work family. Because everything stems from the right view of God. But if we have the wrong view of God, we have the wrong relationship with Christ, there's no way we can have the right relationship with others. So if we're talking about missions this morning, it has to be based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have Christ in our life. Why? Because our relationship with Christ, number one, determines our destination. It determines where we will spend eternity. You say, well, Lyons, I thought you were speaking about missions this morning. Well, I do believe that eternity has to do with the missions. I believe that the time we spend in relating to others, the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, we can impact someone and it will change their destination if they receive Christ as their Savior. If you're here this morning, you know Christ as your Savior, you're in a great place to find the Lord Jesus. You're in a great place to find that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to realize that you're lost and undone without Christ, and then to give your life to Him, and He can come in and change your life at the instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your life can be changed. That ought to encourage you this morning. The Bible tells us to go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that means going to people with the gospel. It means giving them the message of salvation. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and to use me as instruments to draw people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, how important is your relationship with Christ, how it affects others? Is that important to you? I hope so. Because everywhere we go, we ought to be able to be that witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to be able to share a gospel tract. You ought to be able to share the hope that lies within us. Now, I realize we can't talk to everybody every place we go to, but there ought to be at least a willingness and a desire to share the gospel with somebody so they can have the same hope, the same joy, the same peace, the same enthusiasm, the same home in heaven that you and I have. It changes our destination. How about you this morning? Has your destination been changed? Well, Bill Lyons, we're the Sunday morning crowd. Well, I realize you're the Sunday morning crowd. I'm glad you're here. You look awful pretty out there and you're dressed up real nice. But that doesn't mean your destination is the right one. Because I can't change that. I remember one day we were down in Madrid and we went down to visit the Royal Cathedral. And that cathedral was right outside the big palace of Madrid. And you walk out of the palace, that's where Prince Felipe and his wife were married, and all the official events for the royal court of Spain all took place there. And when nothing was going on, you could go in and visit. And so one day we were down there, and it was open. Nothing was going on, so we got to go in. Man, this place is enormous. Acoustics are wonderful, and all this stuff going on in there. Just kind of watched, and all these beautiful architect stained glass up there, and all around the ceiling. Man, beautiful place. And we began to walk through there and just kind of read some of the things, you know. And I got to the end and I saw some confessional booths. And I said, now this ought to be cool. I've never been to a confessional booth before. And so I was with another guy visiting. I said, hey, let's go in there. You get on one side and I'll get on the other side and we'll do the confession thing. This ought to be cool. I don't think the priest appreciated that very much. But we had a good time. But aren't you glad we don't have to confess to men? We can confess to Lord Jesus as Lord, and He changes our life. And when you do that, it changes our direction. We don't have to depend on man to get us to heaven. We depend on God to get us to heaven. Our relationship with Christ determines our destination. But number two, our relationship with Christ determines our development, our growth in the Lord. Everything based on the Word of God, everything based the Christian life is based upon, is that you must be born again. Baptism means nothing if you're not saved. Having a church membership has nothing to do with you if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Even the manner of giving to missions has no influence if you do not know Christ as your Savior. We can give some money to appease our conscience, but that does nothing for your heart. It does nothing for your life. It does nothing for your ministry. It does nothing to help you to get to heaven. We can give thousands of dollars and that doesn't do anything. It's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you more mature today than you were yesterday? Do you have more faith today than you had yesterday? Are you more Christ-like today than you were yesterday? Why? Because our relationship with Christ will determine how we are developing. I had a guy come to church one day in Spain, and I've known him for quite a while. He had been in several different churches that I had visited there, and he's one of those convenient church hoppers and showed up where it was most convenient and where the most food was at the social after church. And so one day he lived in the same town where our church was, and he came in and he would sit there, and we had another guy teaching the Sunday school, and I noticed he just was very argumentative, wanted to argue with everything. And so we had an issue with wine, and he wanted to argue that, you know, I've been saved for 25, 30 years, and I drink wine, and I don't have no problem with that. And I said, brother, we got an issue here. You may be 25 years in the Lord, but you haven't developed in your relationship with Him. One, you're argumentative. The Bible says we ought to have a good spirit. We shouldn't be arguing with everybody. It bothers me when people say, well, I love the Lord, but I'm going to argue with everything you have to say. Hey, we need to have a calm spirit, a joyful spirit, encouraging spirit. So are we maturing in the Lord? It helps our development. Pick any area of service, any area, and the requirement remains the same. You must be born again. That's because being in the faith and having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ means everything and is foundational in the Christian life, including our missions. So our relationship with Christ determines our destination. It develops our life. But number three, it constitutes our distribution. When I'm in Christ and you're in Christ and that relationship is right with Him, He begins to put us in the place where we can be used. Now, this is my personal relationship with Him. As I was growing up and as I understood, I got saved at 12. God called me to preach when I was 16 and called me into the ministry. And as I began to grow my relationship with Him, I began to realize that God began to use me in areas as I surrendered my life to Him. And the more and more I surrendered to Him, the more He used me. My first job as a MK was to carry the keys to the church house. Man, I've always liked keys. And I always carried a wad of keys with me. And I would go open the church and I would close the church. That was my job. And in wintertime, I'd go turn the heat on and turn the heat off. And that was my job. And I thought, man, this is cool. I get to do something at church. And of course, that grew. And now we're doing what we're doing today. But it began because I allowed the God to use my life in the small areas. You're here this morning and say, Brother Lyons, what can I do? I'm sure if you went to Pastor Farley and said, Brother Farley, I want to do something. What can I do? You say, hey, I got something for you to do. I mean, I'm sure the church is like, it's kind of like the world where you know, too much work and not enough help to get them to go around. I'm sure that if there was something here that you could do, they'd be willing to let you be involved. But God wants to distribute you, to use you and place you in areas as we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we refuse to be used of God, we're robbing ourselves of the blessing and we're robbing our church of the blessing, because we can be a blessing to others just by putting ourselves and being used of Him. So our relationship with Christ is the first foundational relationship that we need to build on. We need to develop that. We need to help God, allow God to distribute us as we grow in our relationship with Christ. But number two, the second relationship we need to build on is our relationship with our church. Our relationship with our church. You said, Bill Lyons, is that important? Oh, you better believe it. I believe the Bible teaches that once we're saved, when the book of Acts talks about they received the word, they were baptized, and the Bible says they were added to the church. Do you know the church is the place where you grow and mature and where you exercise the gifts that God's given you? Contrary to popular belief, it's not the meeting house. It's not the place where you bring sinners in, though you can. It's not the place where we come in and just have fun. It's not where we have the potlucks and all the type of stuff and the finger foods, though we may have some of that. This is the place where we come to grow and get equipped to do God's work. The church is a very vital part, or should be a very vital part of your life. You cannot just throw the church and say, I'll do my own thing. No, God organized, instituted, established the local church to be the avenue for which Christians grow, mature, and are sent out to reach the world with the gospel. That's why your presence, your participation in the local church is so vital. That relationship ought to be a high on your list of developing and cultivating, so that every time the doors open, every time there's an opportunity, every time there's a chance for you to do something with the church, you ought to be there. I'm not talking about the church house. We are the church. The people are the church. Every time you meet together, you are the Open Door Baptist Church. And God's working in and through you to be a blessing to others. You're growing and maturing. Yes, you may have some of you say, well, Lyons, my body doesn't do what my brain wants it to do. Well, we're all getting there eventually. But it doesn't mean you can't do anything. It means you can be involved. You can be faithful. If you can't do anything else, you can be faithful. And our young people and our teenagers need to see folks who have been at it all these years and they're being faithful in God's house and just serving the best they can. Our relationship with Christ will affect our relationship with our church. If you more you fall in love with the Lord, I don't know about you, but I could be at church every day of the week. I love being with God's people. I love the fellowship. I love the encouragement I can give. I love the encouragement I can get. I love being with hearing the stories, how God's working in people's life. It's just a joy to be with God's people. Why? Because that's our family. That's who we like to be around. Now, I know we got some ugly cousins every now and then, but don't worry about those people. It'll be okay. You'll get over it. Hey, work with it. Be involved. Do your part. Help others. And build your relationship with your church. We have the example of membership of the saints. In the book of Acts, it talks about they were added to the church. And Galatians talk about the brethren that were met together in the churches of Galatia. Philippians talks about the those were part of the church at Philippi. And on, the Word of God talks about these groups of people. And they just were not groups of people. They were people, part of a local body of believers. And they were interactive. These people here in the book of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, these churches of Macedonia, they had a desire to serve the Lord. They had a desire to be a part of that. Moreover, brethren, it talks about the believers there at Macedonia. And they had a desire to serve the Lord, to be used of God, to grow in their relationship, not only with the Lord, but with each other. Why? Because they had a desire to do something greater for God. As we meet together as the Open Door Baptist Church, as we're trying to strive to do greater things, our desire is not to do less for God. Our desire should be, what more can we do for God? How more can I get plugged in? How more can I be involved in my church ministries? Where can I be an influence on others? How can I help someone else be more like Christ? But it takes membership. I like what our brother said. If you want to see in the choir, you got to be a member. Why? There's some privileges of being a member. Some advantages of being a member. And so there's certain things that you can do in the church as a member, and there's some things you just can't do. Just people, you know, we have family. I just got a new daughter-in-law, and she's my daughter-in-law, so now she has keys to our house. When she wasn't my daughter-in-law, she didn't have the keys to my house. She wasn't family. She was close. She was engaged. But until she got married to my son, she wasn't family. Now she is, and so they have the keys to my house. Not much of a house, but they can go in and sit around and do what they need to do there. Why? Because they're family. You treat family different than you treat the others that are not your family. And that's the way it is in our church. It ought to be an example of working together. And as we grow that membership, as you become a member, God puts you into a ministry. You see, when our relationship with Christ, I want you to understand this, that's our personal work for God. When we have work on our relationship with our church, that's our collective work for God. See, we work together, God calls us individually, but we work as a collective unit to accomplish God's will for our life. We see the exercise of the ministry. If you look at the verses, later on we'll get to that, but we look at the idea of who's doing the work. Who's doing the work? You read through the New Testament, we're going to come across a very startling truth. We're a whole lot more concerned about what we're doing than others. We want people to praise us. We want people to look, man, you're doing a good job. But God's not interested in that. Who does the work of evangelism? The church does. Who does the baptism? The church does. Who does the teaching and preaching? The church does. Who does the giving? The church does. Who gives to missions? The church does. Why? Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through us collectively. Look at the pronouns in verse number 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Who is all this talking about? It's talking about the church. You don't see anybody individually named there. No, they were working collectively as a group to accomplish what God wanted them to do. And so as we have our relationship with Christ and it grows and become members of a church, God puts us in a ministry with others. And then he gives us a mission to do his work collectively. We have a mission individually. But then as a church, we have a mission collectively. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's being involved in all you can, not only to reach the people here, but reach those around the world. That's us getting involved in hands-on ministry, getting involved in teaching Sunday school, getting involved in teaching the youth and all the things that go on. Why? Because we are influencing others for the cause of Christ. Our relationship with Christ is foundational. Our relationship with our church is foundational. Last of all, our relationship with our community ought to be foundational. Our relationship with Christ builds into our relationship with our church. As we work collectively for the cause of Christ, and we do it the way the Lord wants it to be done, we will affect our community. We will affect the world around us. And it begins with a vision. It starts with a willing heart. Look there in verse number 3 through 5. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. What were they doing? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave them own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They said, hey, we want to be involved. It's not just about us anymore. We want to be involved in reaching out and helping the saints and reaching other people with the gospel and being involved in other people's life. You see, that's what happens when we fall in love with Christ. When we follow and we build our relationship with the church, we can't help ourselves. We want to be involved in everybody else's life. I didn't talk about being a busybody. I'm talking about helping others, okay? Encouraging others. Are we as enthusiastic about that as we should be? We see a missionary come or we see somebody need some help. We're like, oh boy, here comes again. They're going to ask for money. I remember when in Spain, when the economy changed, they changed from the peseta to the euro. We lost in 24 hours about $2,000 a month of support. We lost 66% of our support just by the change, the dollar exchange. And man, it was tough. It was really tough. And we didn't have any money to come back to the States. We didn't have any money. We just trying to survive. And there was one day Rachel came. She said, honey, we don't have much here in the house to eat. And I said, well, we don't have much in the bank either. You know, what are we going to do? And so I said, well, I guess we better do what all Christians do. We better pray. Ask the Lord to supply. So we prayed that evening. We were getting to go to church. And we went to church that night. And we had a couple families in the church had little gardens in their back of their house. And, man, this couple came in. And they had potatoes and zucchini and squash. And they said, Pastor, God put it on our heart to help you. Can you use any of this? I said, oh, yeah, I can use that. Man, we took home, when we ate potatoes and zucchini and squash, that was the best food in the world. You know why? God supplied that for us. You know, it's not all about the money, but God is able to supply our needs. And it's not just for missionaries. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for the leaders. It's for everybody that knows Christ. God is able to supply our needs. All He needs is our faith to trust Him. We've lived by faith for over 33 years. We've had some slim times. We've had some abundant times. But in all times, God has always supplied our needs. He hasn't supplied all my wants, but He has supplied all my needs. And He's done that for 33 years, so I don't think He's going to stop anytime soon. He's more than capable to do all He needs to do through my life, as long as I am trusting Him and having faith in Him. He'll do the same for you. It starts with a vision. Isn't it true that everything in the Christian life is dependent on God's people having a willing heart? It's no different in our giving or giving of our life or giving of our funds or whatever it needs to be. It's what are we going to do with what God puts in our hands? We encourage our missionaries. You know, you ought to be givers. God supplies through others to supply for you. We encourage our missionaries. You need to be tithing. You need to be doing faith promise giving. That's what we preach that. We ought to be practicing that. Amen. And so we encourage our missionaries. You are involved. You ought to be involved. Helping and encouraging others because God's given you help in your life in the ministry. You ought to invest in someone else. What a privilege to see how God provides. I just kind of made a habit in our life that things get tough. We just up our missions giving. I think it gets the devil's mad and he leaves me alone for a while. Amen. Why? Because God just never fails. God always supplies. So it starts with a vision. But then it starts also with involvement. That's with an obedient heart. In the Bible, there are four levels of giving, and this has to do with missions and our giving part. But those that give below the tithe, and then those that give the tithe, and those that give exactly the tithe, and those are areas that we all have to gauge. Where am I? Am I giving? Am I giving just to get by? Am I giving just to soothe my conscience? Or are we really giving by faith, trusting God to supply my needs? When we preach faith promise conferences, I tell the people, it's not about the amount you give. It's about with the heart with which you give it. You give, then God will supply your needs. I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, "Belinda, I don't agree with your way of doing faith promise." I said, "I'm sorry. You know, if you want to be wrong, that's fine." But he told me, he says, here's the way you do it. He says, you pray and ask God to give you, for instance, $10. And $10 a week. Can you go out and you find $10 on the ground? You say, well, thank God. And he gives you that $10. You give it for your faith promise. So then I asked a very pointed question. I said, what if you don't find the $10 on the ground? What do you do? Oh, then you're not obligated to give. I said, I don't think that's the way the Lord works. I said, how about you just give and watch God supply your needs? And I'm here to testify this morning, God has never failed. And you give, whether it be of your time, whether it be of your tithe, whether it be your faith promise, of your talents, God will never fail you if you're faithful with Him. Starts with a vision, starts with involvement. Then I would venture to say it starts with an adventure. I've never regretted the day I gave my life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a missionary. My wife and I have been able to go and see things that people read about in history books. And that's just one side of it. But we've seen lives changed that would not have been changed if we had not surrendered our life to go to the mission field. We've seen people called into the ministry that are serving around the world because we helped them, influence them for the cause of missions. We've seen lives changed because we were helping somebody else and they led someone else to the Lord. Now we are able to see a church that we left behind and they're doing greater things and doing things that I never imagined could be done. But it took somebody to go with a vision and start a church. And they can carry on for the glory of the Lord. You see, serving God, you never lose. You ask me, but Lions, has it always been easy to be a missionary? Not in your life. We've been separated from our family for 27 years. We didn't get to be there for the birthdays and the holidays and all the marriages that happened through the families on both sides. We missed some of the family gatherings, a lot of the family gatherings. But God filled those voids in our life. He took care of those things. But we never, ever regret having given our life to serve Him. Maybe you're here this morning and God is dealing with your life about serving Him. Maybe you got questions. You have questions. You'll say, Brother Lyons, what am I going to have to do? I don't know. Brother Lyons, what's it going to take? I don't know. Brother Lyons, where am I going to have to go? I don't know. But I guarantee you, if you surrender your life to the Lord and you follow Him, you'll be the happiest person on the face of the planet. Because you never go wrong walking in the steps of the Savior. You never go wrong in following and being obedient to Him. It's not my job to figure out His plan for your life. It's not even my job to figure out His plan for my life. My job and responsibility is just to follow Him. If you would have told me, and I think I mentioned here, if you told me, 10 years ago I'd be in Jacksonville, Florida, I thought you're absolutely crazy. Nobody wants to go to Jacksonville. That's why 95 goes through Jacksonville. It just, that's not a place you go. And we tried to have a retreat there, the 40th anniversary, and we found out that Jacksonville is not tourist friendly. There's nothing to do in Jacksonville, Except Dream Met. You need to go to Dream Met and get the ice cream. That's a good place to go. But it's just, no one goes there unless you go there on purpose. But God used that in our life. And we go and we can't wait to get back to Jacksonville. I know that's crazy. We're weird. It's okay. We'll deal with it. But why? Because God's put that love in our heart. I love to be at the office. I love to fellowship with those in the office. I love to meet the missionaries when they come and be able to talk with them and fellowship and take them out to eat and do fun things like that. Why? Because that's what God's called me to do. You say, well, Liza, I hate that. Well, God hadn't called you to do that. But He's called me to do that. I love going to Spain. I love the ministry. I love building the churches. I get excited when someone starts a new ministry and see the church begin developing. Why? That's what God put in me. I'm excited that parents are going to the forgotten place of south of Chile. But that where they're going is about an hour from the place that I heard of years ago from a family in our church in Spain. Said, we've got family there. They need to hear the gospel. How many years later, now someone's going down there? That's an answer to prayer. God makes no mistakes. He knows exactly what He's doing. I'm excited somebody has the heart to go down there. I don't want to go there. It's cold. It's not Florida, right? I'm allergic to cold. Doesn't happen. I don't like it. People complain about the heat in Florida. I love the heat in Florida. It's cool. Amen. We can handle that. But God's called people like Brother Farringer to go there. We have a missionary in Iceland where, you know, it's day all day long for how many months and then night for so long. You know, I was there for 1 month. I'm like, this place is weird. I can get out of here. They wanted people to go fill in for a missionary, and nobody wanted the month of February. And dummy me didn't figure out why until I got there. It's when it doesn't get daylight at all. And it's like it was dark and cold. And you drive down the road and snow was blowing and your car is like, who lives here? Who does this? You know? But he's been there 17 years. You know, God's blessing the church ministry. So when God calls you, you'll be happy serving Him. Don't miss the adventure of a lifetime because you're unwilling to be, let God use you and place you where He wants to use you. Our three basic foundational relationships, our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our church, and our relationship with our community to reach out beyond, allowing God to use us in a way that we can never, ever imagine. Serving God is the most wonderful thing. Giving your life for the cause of Christ is the most wonderful thing. And I would encourage you this morning, not because I'm a president of the mission board, but because I've lived, breathed missions all my life. Let me encourage you, give missions a chance in your life. If you have children in your home, encourage them in the area of missions. The world has nothing to give to them. I promise you that. God can help them be a true servant throughout their life. If you have grandchildren, bring them to church. Help them to understand the truths of the Word of God. Encourage them to give their life as missionaries. But Lions, I'm going to miss little Johnny. Well, little Johnny would be better off serving God than he would stay home with you. Because God wants to use lives for Christ. I remember my mom and dad when they went to we were on the mission field, and he says, you know, son, if you surrender your life to God, maybe, you know, God's going to take you and you're going to be away from family. And I'm like, okay. And we did. Yes, we missed some things, but God's always been there faithful. And we love serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get nothing out of this message this morning, understand that serving God is worth everything. It's exciting to allow God to use you to influence others in their walk for Christ. Don't miss the very best that life has to offer you. And it's not what the world has. It's what the Lord Jesus has for you. Build your relationship with Christ. Build that relationship with your church. And then allow that to build your relationship with others. And God will take you places that you never thought you could ever go. It's never too late to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. And I pray that something that I've said that may have encouraged these folks. Lord, we are in dire need of laborers for the harvest field. Lord, we need to work on these relationships. Our relationship with You is above all. Lord, one maybe here this morning doesn't know You as Savior. I pray You work in that life. Draw them close to You. Help them realize the greatest thing in this world is to know You as Savior. Pray for those that are maybe not members here or not part of this body of believers. I pray You help them to join and get plugged in and get involved and see where You'll take them. Lord, as You reach out and You're using us to reach a world for Christ, I pray, Lord, You would just help us to work on those relationships so they can see Christ in us. Thank You for our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. May the musicians will come this morning, maybe God's working in your heart. There's a need in your heart. I re-encourage you. Don't leave this morning without knowing for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. That's the most important relationship. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to join Open Door Baptist Church. You need to come and be an active member, participating, growing your gifts so God can lead you to your relationship with others and go out and reach a world with the Lord Jesus Christ.